Welcome to Flawed and Free Podcast. This is the place where we save souls and set the captives free from spiritual bondage in deliverance and spiritual warfare. My name is Apostle Tina, and our mission is to help you win the warfare in your life by equipping you to sever spiritual strongholds, break generational curses, and find freedom from your now to your next. Join our community of freedom fighters through transparency to transformation in Christ Jesus. Make sure you go now, like, subscribe, and share. God bless.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
I'm back this time. Hopefully we are live in the right place where we're supposed to be. And until everybody else can join us, hopefully people will catch us and jump in as we prepare to get into our 21-day Kingdom Marriage Fast. And so it's a week. It's been a week now. It's been 7 days since we started. Well, actually, maybe six, because when I came on last Thursday, some of you, I was talking about starting that day because I had actually started that day, but the 21-day fast was impromptu. Like, I did not know that I was going to be going forth into prayer and going forth and doing what God had called me to do. And so as I show up here today, I am being obedient to that. And so I said, you know what, Lord, I'll just be patient. I will follow what I will do what you say, even though I have not prepared. I was not ready. Holy Spirit was like, you ain't got to always be ready. I'm always used to setting up registrations and being really prepared in advance. But this was something that he put on my heart for others that I didn't even know the full plan or any specific details. So as each day has gone on, I've just been obedient. I've just been obedient to what he has told me, to what he is saying. And so I'm back here, just like I said I was, as we are on day six for you. It will be seven for me. But nonetheless, we started last Thursday. It was the last Thursday, I believe. And I told you to come prepared for to take communion. Let me make sure I have my communion here. And so as we're waiting on those, make sure you tag and tell a friend and let people know that we're actually live and we're on. If you recall from last Thursday, I was telling you to pick an accountability partner, someone that was on the live that you could tag whenever we're live. And so, of course, if the Lord tells me to come on midday, afternoon, whatever, but I do plan as best as I can. It's been a pretty challenging month, let alone week. And so there's been a lot happening here day to day. So hope you guys enjoyed Alexis on Tuesday's prayer. Shout out to Alexis for Tuesday night prayer and praying with us and our community. I'm so blessed to have her on our team. And it was on fire. It was fire, 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 fire. So if you haven't had a chance to watch Tuesday night's prayer with Alexis, and she came on and she rended the heavens. Listen. And so we had a great time with her praying and partnership in prayer. But tonight, I'm reminding you guys, I see some of you coming on now. I'm reminding you to make sure you bring your communion. We're getting ready to take our communion tonight. We're going to do this every time we show up here. So for sure, I'll be here on Tuesdays and Thursdays in some capacity, in some way, if it's not myself. And more than that, if the Lord calls me to that. But yeah, Tuesdays and Thursdays for sure for the next 21 days. Well, not 21 days now, because we're 6 days down. So we're 6 days down. And so we're going to continue. So I'm saying hello to everybody. I hope you're ready to get into tonight's teaching prayer. And we'll open up and take our communion. Tag and tell your accountability partner that we're here, we're here, we're here. I was having some issues, I think, with the stream there for a second. I'm not sure if it was set up right. So I don't know if people are even going to find us tonight or not. So I just pray that everybody that wanted to be here with us and continue to partner with the 21-day marriage fast discussion. If this is your first time, I do want to tell you, if you weren't here last Thursday, that we're on day 6 and we are discussing not only being a bride of Christ, but the roles of men and women in preparing for marriage, or even those that are presently married. And so why the Lord would call me to that in this season, I'm telling you, it was definitely not I. It definitely, and not because I don't want to, right? Not because it's not on my heart to do. I'm always praying for marriages and things like that. It's just been pretty busy. It's been a really busy season. I said, Lord, this is a heavy topic for all that's kind of been happening in my life presently. Do I have the capacity? Do I have the capacity? And that's just me being transparent. But y'all know that's how I am here in these streets. So it is what it is. So I ain't gonna sugarcoat it for you or nothing like that. I'm gonna do my best to be as transparent as possible. Hey, Mom, how are you? How are you? And so as we proceed, I know tonight's topic that the Lord wanted me to discuss on these 21 days is not only our roles and responsibilities, but what is love. Tonight we're talking about what is love and what role does love play. I looked as I was studying and looking up how many times is love in the Bible. It's like on every page, right? There's not a page you could turn. And so some were saying, oh, it's 700 and something times. Some was, oh, it's 2000 and some odd times. But nonetheless, the Lord sent me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And so we'll be reading out of that when we begin to go into our study tonight on love being the greatest gift, being the greatest gift that God has given us is love. And so many people have misconstrued the meaning of love, what it is and what we how we are to operate and move in the Father's love, how we're to operate and move in the heart of the Father. So make sure you've tagged your accountability partner for tonight. If they're coming on, prayerfully, they're here, tag a friend. And if you don't have an accountability partner, this is your first time, I told everyone to make sure they tag 3 people for these lives when we come on, and to make sure they bring their communion. And so we're going to prepare for that, for communion. So I'm ready. So I'm hopeful that all of you are ready, and then we'll just continue to proceed. I want to say hi to everyone that's here right now. Sierra, Bits of B, Essence, Lena. I see my spiritual mom here, Miss Apostle Strickland. And so I'm excited, unless she's hopped out. So 1 Corinthians 13 is where we're coming from, but let's get into our communion prayer. Hello, Jeff. How are you? Shalom, shalom, shalom. Hello, hello, hello. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you now in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that we can enter in communion today, that we can commune with you, Father. We can commune with our community, flawed and free. Father God, we thank you that your word says in 1 Corinthians 11, 27, that whoever shall eat of the bread of life and drink of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And so before we begin to enter into our time of taking our communion, I want everybody to take an opportunity to think about anything that you need to repent of or bring before the throne of the Father now, so that you are not found guilty of the body and the blood. And so every man right now, if they would examine themselves and allow the Holy Spirit to examine their hearts to prepare for us to take communion. And so I'll give you guys a moment, a quick pause for the cause, and begin to pray and ask and seek forgiveness. It may be for you, it may be for your family. So even as we are preparing now to enter into communion with Christ and the blood covenant that he has made before us, we want to come pure and righteous and ready. And so I want you to take a moment to allow God to really fill and cover, and to allow God to bring to the surface anything that may be hindering your prayer and your time as we proceed and go forth. So Father, forgive us, oh God. Father, forgive us for the trespasses, for the iniquities, for the sin of not only ourselves, our ancestors, and forefathers all the way back to Adam and Eve. Father, we thank you that you are covering each and every one of us with the blood of Jesus Christ, and you have cleansed each of us today and of all unrighteousness. So it is because of Jesus Christ that we can receive the righteousness of God. And so we are honored. We are honored to not only be his servants, but to be his faithful daughters, or to be his faithful sons. As sons of God, we thank you that we are now able to enter into communion with you, Father. Father, as we thank you that you went to the cross for us. You took every sin on the cross for us. And we thank you for the iniquities and all of the transgressions and the trespasses that you took to the cross with you. Father, we thank you that as we take this piece of bread, even now, that is representative of the body of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, in remembrance of you, we will now take it and eat it now. So if you have a cracker, you may not have a little fancy communion cup and bread like I do. You can use anything. You can use, when we get to the blood, you can use water. You can use juice. You can use a Ritz cracker. You can use a saltine cracker, whatever you need to do as we prepare to commune now. But we break the bread, which is representative of the body of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and we take it now in Jesus' name. So prepare your juice, prepare it now. I always mess these up. Sometimes my nails get in the way, but I got it. I used to hate that in church. They'd be moving all fast. Everybody's preparing to take their communion. You barely getting off the top. So Father, we thank you, Lord, that your body was broken for our sins, our transgressions, our iniquities, and our trespasses. Lord, we love you and we thank you and we honor you. We remember now your suffering on the cross. Father, we thank you that even as your body was beaten, even as your body was marred and spit upon, Father, whipped and crucified for each and every one of us, Father, your body was broken so that our bodies may be healed. So we thank you, Father, for the blood that heals. We thank you, Father, for the blood that restores and the blood that reconciles us back to God. Father, we thank you that your love, Father God, that the love of the Father, that it teaches us, Father God, and transforms us. Father, we thank you that the blood brings forth, Father God, healing and brings forth restoration. So we thank you, Father, for the power of the blood today. And as we partake of the blood in remembrance of you in faith, we believe, we receive, and we agree right now in Jesus' name. So we thank you that the blood has become the atonement for our sins. We thank you, Lord, that your blood that was shed on the cross for us allows us access, allows us authority, and allows us, Father God, it justifies us, it sanctifies us, it cleanses us, it washes us, it redeems us, and it restores us back to you. So, Father, even now, as we prepare to drink now in remembrance of him. Thank you, Father, for the blood. Thank you, Father, for the blood. Glory be to God. So today we're going to be talking and discussing some things about love, the greatest gift of all, which is the gift of love. How many of you think that you married for love? I want you to raise your hand, and in these internet streets, we type in the comments. How many of you thought that you married for love? Did you marry for love? And or do you think that you should marry for love? So if you're someone who's single and you're wondering, like, should I marry for love? A lot of people say, well, I don't know about you know, love and happiness, what that is. I've never experienced true love and all of the things. Let me tell you, love means a lot to the Father. Love means a lot to Him. And we're going to talk about it here in 1 Corinthians 13. But before we get into that, I want to prepare a declaration for you tonight. Write it down, put it in your journal, and prepare to declare this every night that we come on for our 21-day Kingdom Marriage discussions, because I want you to make a declaration. Though some of you may not know who your spouse is or who your spouse will be, there's an area that I want you to put your own name. There's an area that I want you to put your own name. So if you're single, then you're going to put your own name. If you are presently married and there is someone that you are espoused or preparing to marry, I want you to put their name in that blank. So I want you to write this down and you're going to repeat it and recite it aloud after me. And so it says, Lord, help me to see. Get a pen, get a pad, and repeat, recite after me. Lord, help me to see. Lord, help me to see. Lord, help me to see. Hopefully you got a pen. Y'all got y'all pens before I go on? Are you writing this down or putting it in your phone or somewhere where you can reference this again? Because every day you're going to make this declaration, and we're going to make it together when we come online live. We're going to make this declaration for our spouses and our future spouses and ourselves as the brides of Christ. If you're single. Oh, good. I think you should marry to advance the kingdom of God when I do get married. Absolutely. That should definitely be a goal. Lord, help me to see. Okay. I see Heart of Gold is already ready. I see she's ready. Okay. Perfectly. You all have a pen or you're able to put it in your phone. I'm going to continue. So the first part of the declaration says, Lord, help me to see. And in the next space, I want you to put the name of your spouse or your fiance and or yourself. Okay, good, good, good. I was waiting to see. I'm like, ain't nobody saying nothing. Maybe they're still looking for a pen. Nonetheless, Lord, help me to see blank. So in the blank, you're going to either put your name or put your spouse's name or your fiance's name if you are engaged. So you're going to say, Lord, help me to see blank through your eyes. Help me to see, Lord, help me to see. So if your husband's name is John or your wife's name is Amber, I want you to say, Lord, help me to see Amber through your eyes. If it's John, I want you to say, Lord, help me to see John through your eyes. Okay. So you're going to say, Lord, help me to see blank through your eyes and to help me fix things. So write that down. And to help me fix things. I'll give you a second to write that down. If somebody can put it in the chat, I'd appreciate it if they could. Okay, Bits of Bees writing. Okay, put it in the chat so those can track us and follow us. Okay, Lord, help me to see. Yes. If you're single, you're going to put your name. You're going to put your own name right there. If you're single and you're not married yet, and you're going to say, help me fix things. I need to become more like Him. Fix things I need to become more like Him. Him meaning Jesus, not your spouse, not anyone. Him is what I mean, Jesus. So if you want to put Jesus there, you can put Jesus. But when I say Him, I mean Jesus. So the next part is going to say, God, transform me. God, transform me. God, transform me. That's the next part. And then the next part says, I trust you. I trust you to do the same for blank. I trust you to do the same for blank. Now, this might get a little weird for those that are single, because in this area, this is really for those that are actually already married. So for those that are already married, they would put their spouse's name in that blank. And if you're single, it's going to seem a little weird because you just said, God, transform me. God, transform me. So if you're single, you can stop there. If you're single, you can stop there. If you already know who your husband is, be careful with that. Be careful with that. Maybe you could put your name there. His name or her name there. I say Be led by the Holy Spirit. That's what I say. Be led by the Holy Ghost. And so this is what it's going to sound like. This is what it's going to sound like all when you recite this together. Lord, help me to see blank through your eyes and to help me fix things I need to become more like him. God, transform me. I trust you to do the same for blank. So whoever it is that you're adding to this prayer, those are not only for those that are single or for those that are married. And so there's a declaration that you can ask and give God every day as we're fasting. For those that don't know, we're fasting from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Can we put, I trust you to do the same for my future husband? Yes. Yes. Whatever the Holy Spirit leads you. Yes, 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 yes. Whatever he leads you to put in that space, go ahead and put that in that particular space right now. So it's getting good, y'all. It's getting good. Make sure you guys share this broadcast and tell a friend so that they don't miss all that we're going to be discussing and talking about today. And so this is a daily declaration to make. And if you want to add to these declarations, please do and recite and bring scripture in with it. Tonight, as we go to discuss the greatest gift, which is love, I'm reading out of NKJV version here in this moment. And we're reading 1 Corinthians 13. If someone will put that in the chat when they get a chance, we're reading out of 1 Corinthians 13. So it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. And so here in 1 Corinthians 13, these first couple of scriptures, 1 through 3, are extremely powerful, and they're really power packed with a whole lot. What do you think this is saying to us in verse 1 through 3? We haven't even gotten to the rest of the verses that we're going to get to tonight, but 1 through 3, what do you think it's speaking to you before I even get into it? And I know we're in a virtual space and I can't physically hear you. So I'll need some of you to text and to chat in the chat and tell me exactly what do those verses mean to you. Preferably your Bible is in front of you. And I want to hear from you that are on here tonight. What does 1 through 3, what does this say to you? What is this saying to you? What is it saying? I'm going to give you a moment. I'm going to pause. I'm going to give you a moment. Glory be to God. I am watching the chat here. What is speaking to you? I want to hear from somebody. Somebody jump in here. Love is first. I like that, Shia. I like that. Everything else is irrelevant without it. Now that's good. I was actually getting ready to go into that. Everything else is irrelevant without it. It speaks to how we must love first and do everything in love. Yes, 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 yes. So though you may be gifted, called, anointed, chosen, appointed, moving in measures of faith, moving in the supernatural mysteries and wonders of God, though you may be all of that above and a bag of chips and more, nonetheless, you could be so many things, but without love, there is nothing. There is nothing outside of love. And if you think about it, it is truly the greatest gift. God speaks to love suffering long, love being kind. And we haven't gotten into that scripture yet with what love is. Many of us are entering into marriage or into a covenant, even with our Father, with expectations that are not rooted in love. And I know it's like, how could that happen? Like, how can it happen? Because do you really know what love is? You don't know love until you really seek the Father for what love is, how to move in love, how to partner in love, how to share love, and even how to receive love. And a lot of us put false expectations on a partner, on a relationship or spouse, because we have skewed ideas of what love is. We think love is connected to what they can do, right? Which would be like gifts or works or talents. Or we think that love is based on just an emotion, just how you feel, right? Or that even the supernatural and the mysteries of God can supersede the most basic commission and appointment in being love, sharing love, giving love. And so a lot of people struggle in marriage because they have not learned how to love Christ and how to allow him to love you. And so we're either giving love or receiving love through a skewed mindset. And we think it's based on our works, right? So this can be speaking to works. This can be speaking to your identity and who you are, who God created you, and even so much more, that though you can move mountains with your mouth, though you may be powerful and highly anointed and gifted and chosen by God, that love is something that you need above all, that you can profit nothing without it. And it's so important to know and understand God's love, so that when you receive and or you partner with someone, the only way you're going to be able to express it, give it, receive it, walk in it, and manifest it is if you learn first how God loves. Once you learn how he loves, then you learn how to love you first, because you can't receive and or give something that you don't possess, something that you don't have. And so the scripture is even saying that, and we see in verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, we're talking about works and alms and all these things, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. And so anything outside of that will bring you no profitable reward. And so sometimes we desire marriage for more than what we think, like, oh, we want him to make six figures. How many times have y'all watched reels and different relationship type of podcasts? And they're like, well, if he's not 6 foot tall, if he's not making this amount of money, if his credit score ain't this, and we have all of the things and all of the expectations and all of the accolades and all of the rewards that we're seeking in a person to give us, and we are still falling short. But this says none of those things in the Bible. So for all of y'all that got lists, for all of you that are holding on to your list, throw them away, burn them up, throw them in the trash, because this is why I believe so many of us are dealing with divorce and with expectations that are not being met in a relationship, because we don't even understand the true meaning of love, how to give it and how to receive it. And so let's go into verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 13. And so, yes, you are right, heart of gold. We're going to love is patient, love is kind, love is God. Hallelujah. So let's see. Sierra said, without love, throw out everything you have and everything you do. I love your interpretation and what the Lord is speaking to you all about in the scriptures as we're going forth tonight. Because it seems like a lot of us kind of have the same understanding. So as we go into 4, it says, love suffers long. My Lord, did you know love was going to be full of suffering? They lied to you, didn't you? You thought love was going to look like The Notebook, the movie, The Notebook. You thought you was going to wake up every day in love. You just fantasized about falling in love. And you just were like, you know what? This is the best thing ever. Somebody going to come pull up on me and they just going to love me. All of the things. So we see suffering, that there's suffering that comes with love. And no one knows better about loving and suffering than Jesus. Because every day we blaspheme the name of Jesus. We don't spend time with him. We're not as intimate with him as we need. We don't hardly call him. Sometimes we don't check on him. So prayer is how we commune with God. So you must learn before you begin to talk with someone else or begin to get to know someone else, A, how to love you and how to love God. And this can take time. It can take, some of us may have deeply rooted traumas and wounds and maybe haven't always experienced loved or felt love. And so we have a trouble discerning what it looks like and how we are to move and operate in it. But Jesus is our first example. He truly is our first example. And we have the blueprint, which is the Bible, that tells us what love is. And
hey, Freedom Fighters, it's Tina, your host from Flawed and Free Podcast. Are you experiencing spiritual attacks in your dreams? Do you have questions about spiritual warfare and deliverance? Or are you just seeking Holy Spirit-led advice and wise counsel? I have great news for you. We are now offering one-to-one consultations to set you on the right path to purpose. Why struggle alone in your own thoughts when we together are a part of the body of Christ? Therefore, we must help one another. So as one of his servants, it would be a pleasure to support you on your journey from your now to your next. Go today. Do not delay and book your consultation with me. You can go to theflawedandfree.com or I will put the link in the episode description of this podcast, and you can go there and book your session with me. God bless.
How to move in love. Chapter 4 says, love suffers long and is kind. Love suffers long and is kind. Let's keep going. Love does not envy. Love is not jealous. Love is not envious. And we see here, love does not parade itself. And so love is something, is an action, not a feeling. It's not an emotion. Let's keep going. It said it's not puffed up. So it's not prideful. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. Listen. How many of us that profess to be believers and followers of Christ, and we're supposed to be expressing as an expression of God, as a son or daughter of the kingdom of God, and we call ourselves Christians, but we don't move in love. We go places and we treat people rudely, and we're not nice, and we are puffed up, and we're jealous and envious and all these things. Like, how can you carry the heart of God? Because as followers, you're supposed to be carrying and exuding and exemplifying the love of God, because we are supposed to have the heart of God. And so your heart is what holds all of the things, right? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so the heart is a place that houses so many things. But nonetheless, it's not rude. It does not, let's see, the next says, does not seek its own. It's not provoked, and it thinks no evil. It thinks no evil. Let's go on to 6. It said it does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Man, some of us can't get through nothing. We can't get through not a thing. Anything that happens to us, we quit to throw in the towel and give up and walk away because we have not built up any endurance, right? People are not always going to express the love of God. And even you may struggle with giving and receiving and moving in the heart of God. But we know that it's long-suffering. We know that it endures all things. So even as we read four through seven, I want you now to put into the chat, what do you hear the Holy Spirit saying to you? What do you hear the Holy Spirit saying to you about these scriptures? We've read them before, we've heard them before, and it might have meant something to you in a different season. It might be something different to you tonight. But quickly, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you tonight about love? And what areas need to be circumcised in your heart so that you can build a greater capacity to love the way that God loves? Nobody loves like him, because I guarantee you each and every one of us, to include myself, has grieved God, has not always had and moved in a reciprocal way with God. We have not always given God our all in all. We have not always moved in long suffering and enduring and not being envious and jealous. And it said love thinks no evil. And so many people call something love that's not love. And so a lot of people are like, well, I'm dating this guy and he says he loves me, but he talks down to me. He's disrespectful to me. He's rude to me. He's rude to other people. Like, I went out to eat. I went on a date with this guy and he was rude to the waiter and he didn't tip the waiter. And so surely, woman of God, surely, man of God, whichever seat you're sitting in at the table, these should be the fruit that we look for when we are preparing to partner with people and an espoused, as a future spouse or anything. These characteristics should follow and they should be partnered with what we are looking for in a partner, not just their height, not just looking at their pockets, not looking at who they're connected to, not just looking to see if they're just a believer or just someone who believes God or someone that just goes to church. If you want to truly be loved and you want to be loved the way the Father loves you, then in choosing your mate, in choosing your spouse, and even for those in their single season, before you can love anybody, you must not only learn how to love God, but to love yourself. So Sierra saying love is selfless. Yes, love is selfless. It does not hold you to any particular count or right or wrong, but it is ever evolving. It is ever maturing. It is ever ready. And so love is something that is enduring. It is something that we are to continue in and not be envious or jealous, and that it's long suffering. So Sierra says the foundation and center for my walk with Christ. I think you are mentioning or making mention to love. And so love never fails. Let's read verse 8 now. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. So verse 8 says, love never fails. Love never fails. God did not say it's sometime, maybe a little bit. He said never, never. He said love never fails. So when we are experiencing failure in this area, then maybe you can ascertain and or discern by the Spirit, was this truly love? Was it love or was it lust? Come on now. I know y'all want to hear that tonight. I know some of y'all was like, but I loved it him and I thought he loved it me. And some of the men out there is like, but she said she loved me, but he said he loved me. If that love doesn't look like God's love, it ain't love. I hate to break it to you, but it's not. It is some other version or some other form. And your greatest example of what that is Christ himself, because he gives love and his love is everlasting. His love is eternal. His love is infinite. His love is forever. And so as we are living in our humanity, as we're living in our flesh, you can't love someone in your own mind. Okay. You can't love someone in your own actions. You must partner with the Holy Spirit so that you can align your emotions with Christ, so you can bind your mind, your will, and your emotions, which are the things that are in the soulish realm, and you tie your soul with the kingdom of heaven, with Jesus, and you compare what you see in the earth. You can then discern, and you can then see, does this love match my Father, Abba, Father? Does it look like his love? Is this his unconditional love? And how do I move in a similar fashion? How do I move in God's love for myself? Because sometimes I feel like I love you, and sometimes I don't. Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. There was a commercial. I can't remember if it was like a candy commercial. And so love does not waver. Love does not fail. Love is not up. Love is not down. If you truly, truly, truly love, whether it's a child, a friend, a spouse, even a dog, but we're talking about marriage here tonight, that in order to love and to love properly, it is something that does not end. It's something that cannot be contained. It's something that continues in time, because even God said in chapter 8, love never fails. So let's continue with verse 8. It says, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. So some of us put more in prophecy, in the prophetic promises of God, and we stand on business with them prophecies. We stand on business, and we know, but prophecies fail all the time. We have people that error in giving prophecies, or maybe some of the prophecies correct and some of it's false, or some of it's wrong, or maybe it hasn't taken root so that it could bear fruit in your life. Whatever it is, we see in chapter 8, it says love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. And whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. So you can't put your hope and faith and trust in just the spiritual things, right? And just even natural things. But we know that love supersedes and it exists outside. My God, love exists outside of the gifts, right? Because we see that love is not a gift, right? We see that love is not a gift. It's not a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's not a gift of the Holy Spirit. And so it is a gift nonetheless, right? But when we're speaking of like prophecy, speaking in tongues, all of those, the power gifts, all those gifts, it's not. So it has a class of its own. And I know some people are like, are you sure about that? It is a gift nonetheless, but it's a gift that doesn't have to be worked for. It's a gift that is given to us by God. And it's a gift that never ends, that never fails. And so verse 9 says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come. Listen, that we're talking about our Lord. We're talking about our Savior. We're talking about our Jesus. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away. So even the gifts of the Holy Spirit in speaking in tongues and prophesying, even that's partial. Even that's not complete. Even that's not perfection. But in God's perfection, in his perfection, we can now experience love in its fullness, not in part, not just a little, not just a piece, but in its fullness, in its perfection. And it is only in Christ, not in the extension of him, not in any of the resources or rewards of God, not in the equipping or the empowerment of God, not in any of those things. That love exists outside of these barriers, not barriers, but outside of these sanctions, right? Outside of these things, that love is greater. it's bigger, it's better, it's more perfect, because this is something that comes from the perfected one. Even the Lord said that he is perfecting those things that are concerning you, that he is perfect and complete and whole. And so we're like, I want to get married to someone who's whole, who's complete, who's perfect. Mind you, you are not marrying Jesus, but as you are partnered with Jesus, with God, as the three-strand cord in marriage, you are now able to exude and exemplify love because of who you're commune with, who you're connected to, because just two people alone cannot impart, nor walk in, nor operate in the love that God calls us to walk in, because he's not in it. So this is why people say, one of the main things about, what's your advice about getting married? What's important? And people say, keep God first. Keep God first. Keep God in the center. Make sure you pray. Make sure you keep God in your marriage. Why? Because without God, if you go back up to verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits nothing. It profits me nothing. So this is why not having love is not having God. Period. If you don't have God, you can, even the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit come without repentance. So you can operate in a gift and not be submitted to God, not be committed to God, not be aligned or in covenant with God, really. Though God became the blood covenant for us and made us righteous in Jesus, right? Even apart from God, we have nothing. We can do nothing. We can be nothing. And so God moves outside of space and time and gifts and callings and assignment. And so when you're creating that list for that man or for that woman of God, love is the greatest gift. So though we seek the gifts of the Holy Spirit, though we seek the gifts of the kingdom of God, if we don't have the love of the Father that is in the midst, that is intertwined, that is connected and in covenant and communion with the Father, your marriage can be set up for failure. I don't want to speak word curses. We see the world even having successful marriages, in a sense. They may stay together and God be nowhere in it, but in order for it to be the love that God designs and has given and required, we must know that this love comes in the perfection of Christ Jesus. It comes in his perfected will and his perfected works, and even the gifts that God gives us are limited, and do not have the ability to move in the fullness of God the way we're called to. And so verse 11, I'm not sure. Okay, we'll read it all the way through to 13, and then we'll stop there. So verse 11 said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. A lot of you probably know the scripture. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So let's pause right there for a second. This says a lot. There's a lot that the scripture is saying. But one thing that can show the maturity of a man or a woman, whether you're a man seeking a wife or you're a wife seeking a spouse, a male, right, to marry, is the maturity of the person can be found in their ability to love, and not in a limited fashion or form, but their ability to move, operate, and exemplify the Father's love, because the Father's love is unconditional. It is infinite. It is eternal. It is unending, and it forgives. It does not boast. It's not prideful. It's kind. It's not envious. It's not jealous. So all these scriptures, all these verses that we have just gotten literally the blueprint to
to what love is, how to move in love. We don't even have to guess because God has shown us and told us what it looks like. So you don't have to guess nor discern what it looks like or what love feels like and say, well, I don't know if I've ever experienced love or true love. What is true love? It's right here. It's in the text. God has already told us. And so when you were a child, you spoke as a child. When you were an adult, you put away childish things. And so one of the key things to discern and to note in seeing the fruit of a person is their maturity will tell you where they are. If they're childish, if they're petty, if they have a hard time, if they withhold love from you, if they use love as a weapon against you, all of these things, you don't have to say, well, is this the devil? Is this God? Are they having a bad day? Maybe they could be having a bad day. Maybe they've allowed the enemy to take root in their mind in a moment, but we bind it in the name of Jesus right now. But the love that God moves in, it's a mature love. It's a mature love. It's not petty. It's not childish. And every time you see people moving outside of this type of love, it's childish. It's petty. You see people throwing temper tantrums all the time. You don't love me. If you loved me, you would do this. If you loved me, and it's very self-serving and it's very selfish. And so you're looking like, well, does this person love me? Because this is how they express love and they want me to give love, but it doesn't align. Does it align with the word of God? Is this person mature and says, you know what? You know, I understand that, you know, yesterday you had a rough day at work and maybe you were a little snappy with me, but I forgive you. My love for you is unconditional. Whether you're up, whether you're down, whether you're happy, whether you're sad, whether you're low, you know, whatever it is, that they won't use that to sabotage the relationship. They won't use that to attack you, right? They won't use any false failures or faults or character flaws or any areas of weakness to say, see, you don't love me. See, I knew I shouldn't have loved you, and try to take their love back. That is truly, truly unconditional, tells and speaks to the maturity of the person that you're with. And so verse 12 says, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know as I also am known. Verse 13 says, and now abide faith, hope, love, these three. Faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. Say it again. Faith, hope, and love. Put it in the chat. Faith, hope, and love. I know you're like, okay. We get it. Faith, hope. So now abide means to take root, to take residence, to dwell in, to be amongst, to be a part of, to be conditioned, to be faceted, to be covered, to move in love. And so these three, faith, hope, and love, it says these three, but the greatest of these. So even in faith, right? Thank God we don't need more than the mustard size seed that God said we needed. That even faith is not the greatest. Hope is not the greatest, right? But love is the greatest. Love itself is the greatest gift that we can get and that we can give and that we can receive from God. It's not even faith. It's not, it's not faith. It's not hope. It's love. Love, my Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. So as you are preparing for marriage, as you're preparing, even if you're currently and presently married and you may be struggling in some areas or you're trying to discern, you know, how to move in love and how to partner in love and how to seek God for expressing more love of the Father, seek Him Go to him, pray before him, and make sure that you're partnered with him in what you do and what you say and how you act, because you cannot do it on your own. You can't. You don't have the capacity. You and your humanity does not have the capacity to give, to receive, to move, to operate. You must make sure that the Holy Spirit, that Jesus Christ of Nazareth, is walking with you, is talking with you, is giving you instructions. When he said, don't say that, be quiet, come over here, sit down, right? And you want to give that man or that woman a piece of your mind because you ain't feeling loved because they didn't did something or said something that was unlovable. I want each and every one of you to know that you are loved by God, that God loves you, that no matter what someone has said, or even those that are dealing with people that withhold love, that have emotional withdrawal in a relationship and they feel unloved because they are not receiving it in a way that it does not measure your ability to be loved, that your ability to be loved is just because you're you. The fact that you're on this earth living and breathing means that God loves you. Somebody loves you. God loves you. And so if no one ever told you that they love you, I'm telling you tonight that I love you. And above all, God loves you more. So even at the infinite end of my personal capacity to love, that God supersedes even that. So don't feel left out. Don't feel like, no, you know, my mom didn't show me love. My dad didn't show me love. My marriage isn't loving. My friendships aren't loving. That I want you to know that you are loved. You are loved. And not only are you loved and God loves you, I love you, and that's all that matters. But even if I stop loving, even if I never told you I loved you, he loves you more, and he will never stop loving you. He will never, ever, ever stop loving you. Helena, I'm glad this was for you. Amen, 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 amen. Love is something else. I'm telling you, if you're marrying for love, I'm telling you, start over. Start over. If you're marrying for love and you're waiting to find love, get out of these social media shows, looking for love, love at first sight, blindly loving, all of the things. Take that out your vocabulary. Take that off your playlist, because that is not how we're supposed to find love and move in love. 1 Corinthians 13 just told us. It just told us without a 12-series special on Netflix. He just told us real simple in 1 Corinthians 13 what it is, what it looks like, and who he is in the spirit of love. So to God be the glory. I pray that you learn to love him more, and that even in loving him more, that you learn to love yourself more. And this is for those that are single and married, that even when you get married, you don't stop loving God because you now have a spouse. You still love God and you still love yourself, and you don't forget that God is love. God is love. So God bless you. May God keep you. May God cover you and carry all of you until we meet again. Don't forget, we're on a 21-day fast, and we're on day six. Today's day six for those that came on late, or maybe this was your first time with us tonight. We are petitioning the throne rooms of heaven. We are praying. We are turning down our plates from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And we are talking about prayer. We are talking about pushing through to receive God's promise of love, God's promise of marriage in our single seasons, and with learning how to love greater and the way that God calls us to love in marriage. We're contending for the men of God, which are the head of the households, who are being attacked through warfare attacks by the enemy to divorce, to cause discord, disunity, and division in the households. We have fatherless children, because the men and the households are being attacked from the inside out. And so I've been declaring scriptures and praying and warring, not only for myself, but this is bigger than that. This is kingdom. There are souls assigned to you. There are souls assigned to these kingdom marriages. There are souls assigned to these unions, and the enemy is picking them apart day by day. He's causing delays for those that are single and waiting. He is destroying some that have already come together, and he is dismantling and preventing and hindering and delaying people's promises for the kingdom. And so we know that God is a God of unity and love. We know that God, and so the devil is ramping up the heat. He is ramping up the warfare, and he is bringing people to their knees, trying to keep their marriages together, trying to stay afloat, trying, waiting on marriage and waiting to receive from God the promise that he's promised him, and getting discouraged on their way and getting frustrated on their way. So if you want to partner with this ministry over the next, I think now we're 13, 14 days, because it was 21 days and today's day six, please come and join us. Please come on with us, pray with us, and receive some of this teaching and prayer we're going to be doing over the next now 14 days to push back the powers of darkness and to open ourselves up to God's infinite love. And your kingdom marriage awaits you. Your kingdom marriage awaits you. So thank you for those that came. Don't forget your accountability partners. Hi, Gwyneth. Don't forget your accountability partners. Even if you want to choose somebody that's on here tonight, I see a lot of YouTubers, of course, on here, of course, more than Facebook. But tag a friend, tell a friend. And when you see me live on Tuesdays and Thursdays, if you don't see your friend here, if you don't see your partner here, make sure you tag their name into the chat so that they know that we are live. So thank you. God bless you. And good night.
Thank you for listening and allowing us to be a part of your spiritual journey and growth in Christ. Listen to fresh new episodes weekly on Wednesdays to be equipped with the tools, knowledge, and strategies needed to dispossess the enemy, take dominion, and be delivered into the promises of God. No more wilderness wanderings, warriors. Walk in your purpose and discover your identity, where you are free to be me, flawed and free. If you were blessed and empowered by today's show, we would appreciate your sown seed of support through donations and charitable giving as led by the Holy Spirit. You can go now to theflawedandfree.com/give. That's theflawedandfree.com/give. Or you can Cash App us at $flawedfree. On Cash App. We are a nonprofit organization with a 501c3 designation. So all gifts, donations, and sown seeds of support that are given are also tax deductible. Thank you for your seed, for we know that it is placed in good soil, and we pray that you agree. So God bless and live your best life in Christ. Love you later. Till next time.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done.
At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.